To a one-year deal, the Seattle Seahawks re-signed receiver Cody White.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your Agribusiness Update. Well, after a second full year, the Washington State Department of Agriculture's Washington Bee Atlas has collected and identified records of nearly 30 new or rare bee species in the state. 17 species were new state records, meaning they're the first known records of finding the bee in Washington. WABA also found 12 species which had not been recorded in the state for at least 50 years, one most recently recorded in 1882. Well, American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall offered a variety of solutions for increasing demand for U.S.-grown agricultural goods before the Senate Ag Committee. He joined several other ag leaders to share priorities and address a structural imbalance that threatens both farmers' livelihoods and food security. The solutions offered include authorizing year-round E15, modernizing farm labor programs, and improving programs to enable schools and the military to purchase directly from local farms. Well, the USDA has allocated over $6 billion in Farmer Bridge Assistance Program payments. Rates for specialty crops under the program are due in early April. Deputy Ag Secretary Stephen Vaden told Politico he believes we'll have those payment rates in place by early next month. Senate Ag Chair John Bozeman told Bloomberg he's calling for new federal aid to farmers in the wake of price hikes in gasoline, diesel, and fertilizer.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how are you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages continue to fall following the Fed's decision on interest rates. As expected, the central bank is leaving its benchmark rate unchanged in a range of 3.5% to 3.75% amid a backdrop of high oil prices, a sluggish labor market, and above target inflation. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
We see the current stance of monetary policy as appropriate to promote progress toward our maximum employment and 2% inflation goals.
In a statement, the central bank said that the implications of developments in the Middle East for the U.S. economy are uncertain. The central bank is projecting one rate cut this year and one next year. In the meantime, prices for oil continue to spike. Brent crude, the international benchmark, is at around $107 a barrel, while West Texas intermediate crude, the U.S. benchmark, is rising to $95 a barrel. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
On the last broadcast, I suggested that labor leaders were conducting a kind of class warfare using some very questionable economic theory. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by Mills Construction. For architectural metal roofing and siding, call Aaron at 610-1256.
On my last commentary, I criticized the AFL-CIO California Convention for adopting some resolutions which were actually hurtful to the men and women they represent. I spoke specifically on the false idea that business can be made to pay a larger share of the tax burden, thus relieving individuals. The truth, of course, is that business taxes are part of the cost of operation and must be paid by the customer in the increased price of the product. But the labor leaders in that California convention made other decisions equally harmful to their rank-and-file members. For example, they raised the old cry born of demagoguery that income taxes should be more progressive, making those with higher earnings pay a bigger share of the tax. Well, right now, at less than $10,000 a year, and I don't think many union members earn less, you are in the top 50% of income earners in the United States, and you pay 94% of the total income tax. At a little over $20,000, you're in the top 10%, and that 10% pays half the total tax. And if you're talking of the one-half of 1% who earn $50,000 a year and up, go ahead, raise their tax to 100%, take every dollar they earn, and it will run the government for less than 3 days. The delegates to that California AFL-CIO convention, I'm sure, were well-intentioned, but they made it clear they did not want a cut in government spending. They want more tax revenues to pay for that spending, and they don't seem to realize the only source of additional revenue is the great working middle class, which includes their own members, and which works now almost 5 months a year to pay for the cost of government. Finally, the other proposal the convention made was to gain more revenue from the capital gains tax. The delegates echoed the president's ill-considered charge that a reduced capital gains tax constituted a windfall for millionaires. Frankly speaking, the president was a little off base. It's hard to get great numbers of people excited about the capital gains tax. Very simply, it's the tax one pays upon selling for a profit something one owns. It is true, it affects mostly those who have savings to invest in stocks, land, or some other object. It is also true that capital investment is what fuels our industry and creates jobs. Our competitors in world trade, such as Japan and West Germany, even socialist England, have no tax on long-term capital gains. But it isn't true to say it affects only people of wealth. Half of all those reporting capital gains have adjusted gross incomes below $15,000. And more than half of the total amount of capital gains is reported by people with incomes below $25,000. In 1969, we virtually doubled the capital gains tax. In 1970, there were 31 million investors putting up the capital to increase production and create jobs. Today, there are fewer than 25 million. I wish today's labor leaders had the statesmanship of the American Federation of Labor Leaders in 1942, who demanded that the capital gains tax be reduced, if not eliminated, because it was preventing the investment of capital needed to create jobs for their members. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by Mills Construction, specializing in pre-engineered metal buildings. Call Aaron at 610-1256. KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Just put me in underneath you.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I'm your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I have Debbie Arnold and Greg Graywall on the show. We're going to go over a lot of different things. We're going to start by talking about what's happening with the Cattlemen's Association and Jim D'Antona. Then we're going to get into a little bit about the attacks on Ian Parkinson and the misinformation swirling around the community regarding SB 54. Then we're going to talk a little bit just about dirty politics in general. We're going to hit a little bit on the Paulding making the FPPC violation that blew up in his face. And then we're going to go in and talk about Prop 26 and water issues. So we have a number of things that we're going to do today. We're also, you can take in your calls if you have a question for Debbie or Greg and you want to get in on the conversation. It's 238-5775, and you can also text at 238-5775, and we'll see the text here on the screen. And tomorrow I'm going to have John Pashon on. We're going to be talking a lot about oil and what's going on with California, Trump, our county, and try to put some untruths to bed there too, because there's some misinformation. Again, it's political season. Every political season, oh, it's either fracking or offshore oils coming to our county. Never fails. We're going to be, but there is now a Trump order to restart the pipeline and the oil rigs off of Santa Barbara Coast. And we're also with John, we'll be talking about some of the local issues. We have one problem. The phone lines will not work tomorrow. They work today. So tomorrow you'll only be able to text. They're putting in some new equipment. It's a one-day event only. But now I kind of want to get into what is going on with the Cattlemen's Group. And do you want me to explain it? Or okay. I have two cattlemen here, and they're both looking like, I don't want to talk about it. They will. What it is the Cattlemen's Association is a Sauk County Cattlemen's Association. Is a very popular group. A lot of people in North County, a lot of cattlemen, a lot of ranchers, even farmers, and even people that don't have cattle become cattlemen. It's just a popular group. They do a lot of fundraising. They do a lot of good for the community. It's a tight-knit group, and they do promote candidates at times. They do have rules, though, also. And as most groups like this, there is the Cattlemen's Association itself does not give money. It has a Sauk County Cattlemen's Association Political Action Committee, a PAC. The PAC does give money. So in October, there was $2,500 given to Jim D'Antona. October 6th, I put it in an article. And I didn't put it in an article until February. At that point, people started realizing that there was something going on, that it was after it posted. It actually posted, I think, in late January, that donation. It went through the cattlemen. There were a number of people that were very, very concerned with Jim D'Antona. And the primary reason was, on February 3rd, he shared a video. And he shared a video making allegations that Parkinson was possibly violating the law, not properly running his department, and shaming protesters who had a First Amendment right to do what they were doing. It was a pretty aggressive post, and a lot of the cattlemen who saw it were upset about it. And then what happened was they were also upset about another thing. They were upset that Jim D'Antona went to work for Bruce Gibson while he's running for Bruce Gibson's seat, and he's Bruce Gibson's chosen candidate. They thought it was not a good thing. It's like you want your buddy in as vice president, so you make him, or as president, so you make him your vice president or bring him into your office, and then they can say on their ballot statement, I should be elected. I'm real close with Bruce Gibson, and I'm in the office already. I know what's going on, and I was also chamber president. There are people that thought that was unethical. So there were a number of reasons, but it came back later, the rules for the cattlemen, there has to be a vote of the committee. You can't just decide, have two people decide, let's send money and not have it approved by the members. So in the end, they had a meeting. They can't pull back the money, but they could pull the endorsement. And they pulled the endorsement of Jim D'Antona. I want to start with that. And Debbie, what did you think when this all went down? And I know there's things you can't talk about, but what do you think?
I mean, I'm happy to talk. It's not secretive at all. It's just, I think there was a little miscommunication early on. And in fairness, you know, back in the fall, not a lot of people are paying attention. The election's months and months away, and people just aren't paying attention. But there was a decision made, and the cattlemen sent an endorsement with funds. And I believe that actually, you played a role in this, Karen, because by reporting it, I think more members became aware of what was going on there. But it's also one of those things, you know, the campaign as it evolves and the candidates are out and about and they're talking about the issues and where they stand on the issues. I think, it just became apparent that maybe the candidate that was endorsed was not, didn't share all the same values that some of the things that were important to the cattlemen, and you mentioned some of those things. So the decision was made revoke that endorsement, and that's that's where we are today. That's pretty much all I know about this.
And yeah, they are supposed to properly vet them and interview them. This isn't supposed to be a determination by two people. It's supposed to go to a vote of the committee before you give money.
I'm sure true that that's how it should happen. But again, with politics, especially early in a campaign season, I don't know how many people were interested about coming forward and making the decision in the first place. So it happened. I think you mentioned to me, Karen, when you knew I was coming and you wanted to talk about this, you mentioned to me, well, it jumped out at us because the Cattlemen's Association is well-respected. They purposely make these endorsements and for a reason. And you were surprised when that particular endorsement was made. And then you followed up all these months and followed or tracked this. And I do want to say this Almost This experience shows the cattlemen, they take their endorsements seriously. And so to step up at this, we're closing in on the end of the campaign season. This, both of our supervisor races will be decided very soon in May, the first Tuesday in May. So we don't have very much. Actually, ballots will drop within a month. So once people started paying attention and then they cared enough about their endorsements to go through the process of making this change. And now it's made. And, you know, when I say not sharing the values, I want to say cattlemen, no surprise to most of your listeners, I believe that cattlemen, first and foremost, they have the PAC because they want to support candidates that that will support their industry. Cattlemen I know work really hard to, I always say they work really hard to produce quality food and using the natural landscape. So different from having to farm and till, they are using the natural landscape to produce quality beef.
And
for
you're cattle, but you have cattle.
We do run cattle, but it's hard. It is hard work, and it doesn't always go your way. You know, prices rise and fall with no. The cattlemen can't control their prices, and they certainly can't control the weather. That's probably the biggest wild card. So some years, you know, you go for years. All the drought years we had, that was really hard on the cattlemen. I know now, you know, the pendulum swings so hard. Now cattlemen are doing pretty well. The prices are high because the drought created a situation where the herds in the western United States were all depleted. There was no grass for them to eat. So the cow herds got slimmer and slimmer, and now it'll be a long process to build that back up, and it creates a supply shortage. So people are seeing the results of that in the grocery stores. But point being, they work really hard to, you know, provide this food source, and they need their electeds to understand what they're doing to support them, to not create, you know, attainable regulation. And then also property rights are very important. And I'm going to go ahead and say, I think to most cattlemen, the rule of law, we live in a country where we can change the law. But I think many people agree that if you just choose not to follow the law, then it creates a chaotic society. And our law enforcement, when you mentioned our sheriff, our law enforcement is a big part of a lawful society. Cattlemen respect that. And the Cattlemen's Association, that I know, loves our Sheriff Parkinson.
And Greg, you're also a cattleman. And you also have cattle.
Yes.
And so were you surprised at the donation? And what did you think when they pulled the endorsement?
I'm happy that they pulled the endorsement because I think, like Debbie just said, I'm not on that committee. I'm not. I keep them informed on property rights issues and water issues, and I respect the fact that, you know, this industry takes care of the watershed. We cover so many acres, and we help with fire prevention because of the grazing, and we really try hard even when everybody maybe doesn't want something that we want. Debbie can just tell you, she just went to a steak and eggs breakfast thing that we put on in Sacramento so that we can talk to representatives and they can understand what we do and how we take care of the land and the purpose of this. So we want to raise money to help candidates, but we want candidates that are at the same time understanding what we do and how we do it and how we need their help to continue to do it, because we got so many crazy things going. They're reintroducing of the wolf, you name it. And, you know, you put your life, if you live up in a place where they reintroduce these wolves and you have calves out there and they tell you, well, you know, three of them have to die before we go take care of the wolf. That's, how would you like it if they say, you know, if they did that in your profession, like, you have to have your house broken into three times before we're going to send an officer over or some deal. No, I think we do a lot. We go out of our way, and I think it's really important, regardless of what committee you're on, if you're there to do certain things and you're representing using the name, it needs to be understood that everybody is in agreement, or at least the people on the group are in agreement that this is a good choice to make. And hey, mistakes happen. And again, it's we just want the right people that are gonna, you know, do things that benefit an industry that we're trying to not only benefit the landscape, but benefit the people.
And I want to go now in a little bit into why this video upset people so much. So there is a thing called Prop 54. And what Prop 54 does, it's the California Values Act, and it prohibits Parkinson's or any law enforcement from using public resources to arrest or help ICE arrest immigrants. They are required. It doesn't say they can never cooperate with ICE, because guess what? They're required to. When ICE comes to the jail with a warrant, they're required to look at that warrant and follow that warrant. They also work on other things with ICE. They can talk to ICE. If they see a crime and ICE is there, they can arrest someone for a crime, not for being an immigrant, but they can arrest someone for a crime. The Sheriff's Department is not permitted in any regards to have anything to do with ICE. ICE is a law enforcement agency. They get federal warrants on a regular basis for illegal aliens in our country. And let me tell you a little bit about what Dan Tennant said. He questioned in his video, he does, and you can go to Cal Coast News and read the article, Cattlemen's Group Pulls D'Antona's Endorsement Over Anti-Law Enforcement Video. So he argued that Parkinson violated the law by coordinating with ICE. That's not the law. Here's what he wrote. These protesters were exercising their First Amendment rights, but they were threatened with arrest. Why did they use the ICE video to post on the sheriff's social media account, ran the sheriff's camera lobby system? Was the goal to intimidate protesters or to shame them? Let me explain what happened. It was a Sunday. Ian's not in the office. He gets a call from a Tribune reporter. And they're saying, I need to know what happened out there with ICE. It's Sunday. He says, I'll call you back and give you the information. Well, the Tribune didn't wait. They wrote an article, and it made it look very different. It was parts of videos provided by the protesters. And so you have Ian then decides he needs to look into this and find out what actually happened. So he calls ICE. And he has a video of it, but guess what? There's no audio. And a video without audio is not as good. So he calls ICE, and they said, yes, we did have body cameras on. Can you send me the body camera video so we can investigate this? And then his investigators looked at it, and they determined the protesters had violated the law. They were cussing. They were aggressive. They were out of control. The video is on Cal Coast News. It was to a point that they now have it posted in there that it's illegal. And Ian put out the video and a statement. This is against the law, and here's the laws you broke. And we're not going to go after you now, but don't come back here and do this again. Now, I did ask Ian, and he said other than one day, he had one day where they tried to pull that again. And he walked up to two people, said, come outside with me, and explained, you continue that, and there's going to be an arrest. And they've been able to stop the problems in the lobby. But Bruce Gibson, who D'Antona is working for, Bruce Gibson now wants to block the lobby. He wants to close the jail lobby. There are people coming in and out of there all day. You'd have to have somebody answering the door. It would be a whole nother sheriff person. He wants to make sure that ICE has to interact outside with the protesters where they can They were very rude, yelling things that were very nasty to the ICE officers about their families and other things. And when they're inside and they can't go in and get aggressive, they can be there. They just can't be screaming and yelling and causing issues. But that was Bruce Gibson's plan to do this. But the reason this is problematic is there has been person after person after person going in front of the Board of Supervisors saying, just last week, they kidnapped 1,000 people off our streets. They're picking up people at the jail who have been arrested. When you go into the jail, your fingerprints go to the feds. If you have already been deported before, it's going to show a flag. They want to pick you up because you, first of all, you've committed a crime in this country, and the other is you've been kicked out once before. But we're going to take a break from our sponsors and be back with more with Debbie and Greg.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
We ask Nick Madera, CPA in Atascadero, what's new as we prepare our taxes?
We've got some big upcoming changes courtesy of the big, beautiful bill that was signed back in the summer. How it's going to impact folks and answering questions on that because it was passed so fast. There's going to be some things that people like and maybe some things folks don't like. They did address some key issues that were the fallout of the previous, call it Trump bill, back in 2017. So they did address one big issue, which was the SALT limitation. That's been increased, so that's going to help some folks coming up here. And I know the president touted three key factors he wanted to do with no tax on tips, overtime, and Social Security. They got two of those, subject to income limits, because there's always income limits and phase outs on things. And there was a kind of a compromise on Social Security. So those are going to be probably the major points of that bill that affect a lot of people.
Nick Madera, CPA, 805-466-7249.
Mid-State Precious Metals is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. in Atascadero, across from the movie theater. If you're looking for an appraisal or quote on your gold or silver, go see Ron at Mid-State Precious Metals for a free quote. With gold and silver at an all-time high, this is the time. They are one of the highest-paying bullion dealers on the West Coast, and they can walk you through the steps to buy and sell with no commitment. Check them out at MidStatePreciousMetals.com or stop by anytime in Atascadero, Tuesday through Friday.
Welcome back to Sound Up. I have Debbie Arnold and Greg Graywall on the show. We started by talking about what's going on with the cattlemen. And right now we're talking about the ongoing attacks against local law enforcement and the impact it's having. Why do you think, and I do want to say something. UndocuFund gets money from government. For example, I found $75,000 given to them from the governor's office. And even though their mission statement is to help immigrants that have had natural disasters, what it appears they primarily do is they primarily run meetings and teach people how to protest and pay protesters. I've had people say they're paying protesters. They hold meetings all the time. And I've had several people say you ask them for money for an emergency and they're not interested. I don't know exactly what's going on. I know they are having trouble. I know there's government agencies currently looking at them, because federal agencies, because of what they've been doing with the money. And again, a lot of money that is given to them is from government. So government's paying them, and then they send out text messages. So for example, they send out text messages every day. There's text message after text message after text message asking me people in the community. It's usually not San Luis Obispo unless it's the jail or the courthouse. But they ask them to get out there and stop and try to stop someone from getting arrested. And so, for example, I had a text from that 641. I've had texts all day from them. And they're wanting people to go to Carpinteria and go to Carpinteria and go to this street where there's an ICE agent. They even go when they have lunch and mess with them at lunches. You know, they'll say, oh, they're at a coffee shop. Go there. Greg, how do you think it is that government is paying them to go after law enforcement? And they also, again, they follow sheriff deputies, undercover sheriff deputies, and they've tried to stop multiple arrests by the sheriff's department also.
Yeah, well, I don't personally believe this is the way that taxpayers want their money spent. If they wanted the rule changed, then they need to go to their representatives and they need to change the law. And these ICE agents are the law, and they're doing what the representatives made a law. So we can't have people that we're paying to protect us not be able to protect us because somebody doesn't like it. That's just ridiculous. If you don't like the law, then you run for office and change the law, and then the people who are the officers will follow the new law. But they have a right to follow the law. They're doing their job. That's what we're paying them to do. That's what we want done. And I don't want my tax dollars going to fund these crazy people that think that the laws they like are the ones that get applied, and the laws that they don't like, we don't have to worry about.
That's right. Law enforcement, they don't make any of these laws. And I'm sure maybe they may agree with them or maybe they don't, but it is their job to enforce the law. And that's what I was saying earlier. If we have a society where laws can be changed, and then we pay people to enforce the laws. But you can't have, it's just going to create complete chaos in our society if we...
Yeah. Certain politicians can't pick the things that they don't like because it doesn't fit their agenda. And this is simply ridiculous. I went to the supervisors meeting here a few weeks back on something, and I'm like, now they got a little podium there with a seat for a sheriff to sit there at the meeting.
Like, okay, let me tell you what happened there. Jimmy Paulding went into office. I actually asked about it and got kind of the runaround, but it's a purview. I asked Pashon, and he told me that's a purview of whatever chair. Now, remember, the county is having financial problems. They're saying they're fine right now because they cut $35,000 out of the budget. But there's some, like the sheriff's department, they're going way over. They can't cut certain things. They're already asking for a redo on the money, which is going to put them about $10 million in the end. This year, $1 million. Next fiscal year, $10 million under. They're having financial problems, and it's only 20. I was told it's going to be about 20 grand.
So let me ask you a quick question about what you were talking about the front of the sheriff's office and these people not being able to go in or whatever. Do we want an officer? Have we had a problem at the Board of Supervisors where people need to be arrested or escorted out?
Well, here's the problem. It maybe happens once every 3 years, but guess what? There's a sheriff's substation across the street.
Right.
It takes about a minute to run across the street. They can get a sheriff there so fast. It's not as if someone's going to have to wait.
Right, exactly. So I'd rather have the officer out in the community doing his job than sitting there. And I don't even know if he's being told what to do, and he's doing it.
I was told it's going to cost about $20,000 a year. And my issue is you're having a financial problem. You haven't needed this in the past. Why are you doing it now? We're going to take a break, the top of the hour break. We'll be back with more with Debbie Arnold and Greg Graywall. We're going to hit water for a minute when we get back.
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.